Imagine living in the first century, watching the spread of the gospel in real time, as Jew and Gentile alike began to embrace the truth. It's recorded in the New Testament book of Acts. And today on Insight for Living, we'll hear Chuck Swindoll conclude a five-part series citing the lessons learned from this remarkable era. The good news was spreading like wildfire, and we observe six marks, six virtues, among the leaders who passed the baton from one generation to the next. Let's pick up the study in Acts 18, verse 1. Our subject, creating a legacy of mentoring.
After these things, he, that's Paul, left Athens and went to Corinth. By the way, no church was established in Athens. Athens was what some would call an evangelistic failure. So Paul leaves, I rather suspect, pretty low. He went to Corinth. He found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. First mark of a good mentor. Because a mentor cares, he stays close. A mentor doesn't keep himself aloof, doesn't operate from a distance. He's willing to be known. She is willing to be known. A mentor gets up close and personal. Because a mentor cares, he comes up close, he stays close. This makes one being mentored feel valued. Second point here, because a mentor is devoted to the scriptures, this prompts the one being mentored to become stronger. As your mentor begins to talk straight and speaks truth, not only to you but to others, you're strengthened. Third mark of a good mentor. Because a mentor takes the long view, he hangs in there with you. Because a mentor takes a long view, he hangs in there with you. This encourages the one being mentored to become more faithful. Now, finally, Paul is led to leave Corinth, and on his way back to Jerusalem, he passes through Ephesus. He took Priscilla and Aquila with him. He's lived with them for over a year and a half, and now that the Lord's leading him on, he takes them with him. They leave Corinth, and they, in turn, verse 20 and following, or verse 19, they came to Ephesus. He left them there. Fourth mark of a mentor. Because a mentor believes in you, he trusts you when he is not present. This results in your becoming more responsible. Paul leaves Aquila and Priscilla at Ephesus, and in effect, they form the church at Ephesus. Good mentors are at heart good models of servanthood. They take joy in releasing. They stretch us, and they tutor us, and they coach us, and then they watch with delight, or they hear about the work with delight. Now, watch what happens. It's fascinating here. Verse 24, Paul's no longer there. He's passed beyond the scene. He's gone on to Jerusalem, and yet Ephesus and the work at Ephesus is continuing. Now watch. A Jew named Apollos, first time he's ever mentioned in the Bible, sort of comes out of the blue like a meteor across the night sky. A Jew named Apollos, Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. He was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in spirit. Now watch. He was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. He began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, isn't this great? They took him aside and explain to him the way of God more accurately. What's this all about? Well, Aquila and Priscilla are still going on in the ministry at Ephesus, and along comes this hotshot from Alexandria, and they hear him speak, and he's obviously gifted and zealous and well-educated, and he only knew a theology that went as far as the baptism of John. He knew nothing of the work of the Holy Spirit. He knew nothing of the finished work of Christ, and they heard that. And very graciously, notice how they handled it. He said, how about coming over to dinner? So he comes over to their home, sits down, and they strike up a conversation with him, talk about ministry, and they get into the subject of theology, and they explain to him the way of God more accurately. They were mentored by Paul, and now they are mentoring Apollos. And that says something for Apollos, that he doesn't resist their instruction. Fifth mark of a good mentor. Because a mentor is discerning, he addresses weaknesses that need to be strengthened. Because a mentor is discerning, he addresses weaknesses that need to be strengthened. Now, the benefit. This helps the one being trained to remain humble and teachable instead of arrogant. This helps the one being mentored to remain humble and teachable, realistic, instead of arrogant. You know what? I'll give you a little tip. When you see an arrogant young preacher, you know he's never been mentored. Just mark it down. Good mentors won't let arrogance go by unaddressed, or any other flaw that could be fatal in ministry. Whether it's a young intern working at a hospital nearby being mentored by a seasoned medical professor, or a young attorney in Philadelphia working in the stacks of a law firm being shaped by an older, seasoned attorney, or a budding actor in Hollywood trying to break into the ranks of theater under the watchful eye of a capable actor, or a gifted young musician at Juilliard learning his instrument from the masters, correction is essential. Don't play it like that. Play it like this. I took oboe from Mr. Villani, who played first chair oboe at the Houston Symphony when I was in the youth symphony at in place of my rearing. And he made house calls. Mr. Villani came and taught in our home, and I remember setting up the stand every Tuesday afternoon, and he would come with his oboe, and I would have mine, and I would play duets with Mr. Villani. And there were times I just had to stop. He is so good. I just wanted to watch him as he played, and he would help me with fingering and with intonation and with the armature, and he helped me know how to make my own double reeds. And Mr. Villani mentored me as an instructor in the skill of playing that double reed instrument. I learned on the clarinet, but when you play oboe, it takes both lips. And I'd learned tonguing and in intonation from my teacher in clarinet, but I didn't know about oboe, and he helped me with all those little technical things. He said, no, here's a better way to finger that. And in a quick run, you can make this happen, and you get there easier than if you try to do it that awkward way. And he watched how I fingered my instrument. And the same is true in the life of a preacher. I have the opportunity where I am now to help mentor young preachers, and I watch them as they have rugged points in their transitions, and maybe their introduction needs a little fine-tuning. But far more importantly, character traits. And so we instruct them in that as well. And if you have the benefit of a mentor to help you in the fine points of your work, you are of all people most blessed. You stay humble, you stay teachable. And a mentor is faithful to do that. It does wonders for your skill. Wonders. Please observe, they don't hold on to him. There's no clinging here between Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos. Now look at verse 27. When he wanted to go across to Achaia, that's across the Aegean, when he wanted to go over to Achaia, which is the region of Corinth, the brethren, that's Aquila and Priscilla and their friends, They encouraged him and wrote the disciples to welcome Apollos. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Look at that. Where did he learn about grace? From Aquila and Priscilla, who learned about it from Paul, who is the theologian of grace, the apostle of grace. And they pass on to him this message. And so he now, in turn, is mentoring people back in Corinth. What goes around comes around. They had left Corinth and gone to Ephesus. He had gone to Ephesus. Now goes back to Corinth. And who is it, by the way, who waters the seed of Paul? Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. This man, of all things, comes back to the people who had been formed in the womb to come to Christ. And now as they're growing, Apollos comes along and helps nurture them in their growth. Is love a setting like that? Now, here's the point, Mark number 6. Because a mentor is an encourager, he endorses the gifts and the life of the one being trained. Because a mentor is an encourager, he endorses the gifts and the life of one being trained. And the benefit, this makes you want to do your very best. When you know someone has put his name on your letter of reference, when you know someone has been willing to make a phone call and say, listen, this man, this young lady deserves your attention. This person is gifted. I vouch for this person. There's no clinging. There's no jealousy. There's enormous delight in finding younger ones coming along the way and even going beyond. Hendricks often talks about being at a place where he has just a chance to touch lives and then all of them just outstrip him, he says. It isn't true. But he says they all move on into greater sections and broader areas than he will ever go. But he has had the privilege of watching this occur as he has us for 3 to 4 years and then releases one after another. And I noticed the brethren encouraged him and encouraged those to receive him, and they welcomed him. Look at the result, verse 28. He powerfully refuted the Jews. Diakatalinkamai. It's a long Greek word. It means to meet the argument, see through it, and bring the opposition right down. He is brilliant in skill as a teacher and as an apologist as he addresses the argument, does some street meetings as well as, I'm sure, synagogue meetings and gatherings, the result is a Corinthian church that's strengthened. Now, I want you to pause for a moment and look again at the theme, at the point we are making through the week. This is about creating a legacy. You have the baton, which represents your life, including your scars, information you've been blessed to receive, maybe some hand tooling from individuals who cared enough to put their arms around you. It may have been your dad, may have been an instructor, one of your academic teachers who saw a real possibility in you, may have been a pastor, a coach, and that individual has believed in you and has told you this is really something worth your while and give yourself to it. And then they begin to release you. It is a relationship that continues on. The better you do that, the more this person you have helped will do that with others. I don't know if you've read a little book called Tuesdays with Maury. It's a wonderful little book. Rich Album is a writer up at the Detroit Free Press, and Mitch Album, I should say, Mitch Album, A-L-B-O-M. It's not a Christian book, but it's a story of a mentor whom Mitch had as a student at Brandeis University in Waltham, Massachusetts. Mitch has gone on with his career, and he took philosophy from Professor Morris Schwartz, whom he calls Maury. And one day he's watching television late at night, and he sees his old prof on one of the late night shows, and his prof has Lou Gehrig's disease. And he suddenly is gripped with the realization that it's been years since he has been with this man who had meant so much to him during his years in college. And so every Tuesday he would return as Maury dies. And he keeps the story of the things they talk about in this period of time, the curriculum, the syllabus, the student, the audiovisual, the orientation, the classroom, taking attendance, the first Tuesday, the second Tuesday, third Tuesday, and then on and on, the professor, and all the way down to the 14th Tuesday, graduation, and we say goodbye. Listen to this last page. After Maury died, I went through boxes of old college material, and I discovered a final paper I had written for one of his classes. It was 20 years old now. On the front page were my penciled comments scribbled to Maury, and beneath them were his comments scribbled back. Mine began, "Dear Coach." His began, "Dear Player." For some reason, each time I read that, I miss him more. Have you ever really had a teacher? One who saw you as a raw but precious thing, a jewel that with wisdom could be polished to a proud shine. If you were lucky enough to find your way to such teachers, you will always find your way back. Sometimes it is only in your head. Sometimes it's alongside their beds. The last class of my old professor's life took place once a week in his home by a window in his study, where he could watch a small hibiscus plant shed its pink flowers. Classes met on Tuesdays. No books were required. The subject was the meaning of life, taught from experience. The teaching goes on. When Dawson Trotman died, he had not lived a long life, but he had lived a rich and busy one, pouring his life into others. He died in a drowning accident at Scroon Lake, up in Word of Life Camp, upstate New York. He died saving this young lady who had been accidentally thrown into the lake. As the speedboat took a quick turn, she fell over the side. Without a second thought, he dived in fully clothed and lifted her up, and then he sank in the murky waters of the lake. And one of the men later said the entire United States Navy could not have saved Dawson Trotman at that moment. It was his time. His funeral memorial service was held, and Billy Graham preached it. The Hallelujah Chorus was sung. Time magazine was there. A reporter who never knew Trotman listened to one testimony after another of people Trotman had mentored. When the next edition came out of Time magazine, they had a small picture of Trotman, a little column of his life, and a caption under his picture, "Dawson Trotman, always holding somebody up." What an epitaph. Epitaph. What will be on your stone? I mean, the big stone. Something about a legacy? Maybe. I hope. Let's bow our heads together. We all have those four things in common with each other. We all are from a family. Those people who first and I hope foremost in your life help you put down your roots to find out who you are, what life's about. Those who gave birth to you, those who watched you grow, become a young woman, a young man. And then we've all had those teachers and instructors who took up the torch and, if you will, took the baton from our parents and carried it from there. And then our partners in life, if we're married, if not, our friends those who cared enough to take note of our names and then of our lives. If God gave us a partner, perhaps our children, now maybe grandchildren. And then God has graciously given some of us mentors, people who saw things in us and believed in us before we ever believed in ourselves, who helped us wipe away the tears, helped us with the scar tissue, who forgave us, helped us understand, who instructed and corrected us, invested their lives in us. Jesus did it with his 12, and 11 got the message. This is your opportunity in the months to come to find someone, maybe someone with your own name, maybe someone near, perhaps a new friend that you can help, you can encourage. We love you, our Father. We love you for bringing into our lives those significant others that we could have never found on our own. You brought them to us. You enriched our lives because of them. We're different people as a result. Thank you for your sovereign care, the way you bring those people to just the right ones, and the way you bring us to others. May we be increasingly more sensitive to the role we play as age increases. May we understand, Lord, that no time of suffering is ever wasted if lessons are learned and passed on to others. We thank you for this meaningful time we've had each morning, and now as we anticipate, including this evening, as we meet around the table to remember our Lord, the greatest of all mentors. Add a dimension this day of depth because of what we have gleaned and what we have begun to apply. In Jesus' dear name, everyone said, amen.
Concluding the five-part series called Creating a Legacy, you're listening to Insight for Living and Chuck Swindoll. Originally presented at a family conference where Insight for Living listeners gathered from all across the country, this topical series is available right now. To purchase the five CDs or to download the audio files, go to insightworld.org. Again, it's called Creating a Legacy. And we'd love to have you join us at one of our next vacation conferences coming up next summer. To learn more, go to insight.org/events. Well, tomorrow marks an historic day at Insight for Living. On Thursday's program, we'll launch a brand new series, this time a biography. You know, it's been a long time since Chuck has presented a character study, and certainly one of this magnitude. The broadcast series is complemented by a hardbound book, nearly 300 pages in length. The series and the book are titled Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. And when you give a donation to Insight for Living, you're invited to request a copy of the book. Although you're likely familiar with the key points in Abraham's life story, we're confident you'll see a side to his character that'll surprise you. In fact, it's remarkable how this man's human struggles parallel our own. Be sure to request your copy of the biography today. And because of the substantive qualities of this hardbound volume, you might gauge your donation accordingly. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org. There's a growing circle of friends who've come alongside Insight for Living with monthly support. We call them monthly companions. The process for automating your gift is simple, but the outcome is profound. Plus, you can have the satisfaction of knowing you're doing your part to provide this daily ministry. If you're listening in the United States, become a monthly companion when you call 1-800-772-8888. Or online, go to insight.org/monthly companion.
Deep blue waters, ancient glaciers, waterfalls cascading from forested mountainsides.
Find rest and beauty as you vacation with Chuck Swindoll, July 4 through 11, 2015, on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to Alaska.
When was the last time you lingered at the balcony of a cruise liner or counted bald eagles sitting in towering trees along the shoreline? Probably never. Until now.
This is the time to breathe deep and create memories. Get away with God in a place that points you vividly, spectacularly, towards your Creator.
You and your loved ones will set sail with us on the MS Westerdam for a week of cruising, laughter, fun, the study of God's Word with friends from Insight for Living.
Join Chuck Swindoll for an Alaskan cruise, July 4 through 11, 2015. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Chuck Swindoll begins his brand new biographical series on Abraham Thursday, right here on Insight for Living.
In the preceding message, Creating a Legacy of Mentoring was copyrighted in 2004, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.